what your reaction was and just what the community's reaction was as news slowly broke about the bodies being found in BC, and then since then more and more discoveries popping up across the country.
You know what, Matt? There's not many words. It's entirely heartbreaking to continue to see the recoveries of these children from these residential schools. But there's, I know, in some instances within our community, you know, it's difficult that it took a mass grave to really reignite what we've already been told after all these years, you know, from survivors, from historians and research of whatever we could get our hands on. And so, you know, to us, it's obviously still heartbreaking, but it's also, it's frustrating that it's taken, you know, this to reignite, you know, all of what the atrocities that were committed at these schools. But what we're really focused on now is justice, you know, for those children, for our families, our communities. And so that's what we're focusing on at this point, but nonetheless, super heartbreaking as we see more recoveries.
Now, some people we've talked to have said, sort of what you mentioned there, is that it was very sad, but people who like grew up like in Six Nations or an Indigenous community, it wasn't necessarily shocked that this happened. This is something that a lot of people who grew up in an Indigenous household kind of knew about, but this is just the rest of Canada catching up. Is that something like a fair assessment, would you say?
I would say so, because it really, it's ultimately reflected as, you know, our voices weren't listened to. You know, with the Truth and Reconciliation report and the National, you know, Center, you know, at that time, survivors were speaking. So it's just, to me, I can really feel, you know, their pain of, you know, survivors to, you know, all of our community, really, because these are discussions that happened years ago, but never really gained the attention what it's gaining now.
And after like the first discovery in BC, you were one of the first people here in Ontario to come out and say, look, we need to look at our own local former residential school. I'm assuming you assume that there will for sure be something discovered there. And is there any progress that has been made? Have you heard anything from the government?
Yeah, so we actually, I had a meeting with our working group, obviously with survivors included, with Minister Carolyn Bennett on Friday. Nonetheless, again, work has started on the technical side of things. So our office is working with her technical staff to expedite as quickly as we can dollars to begin our comprehensive search. We are, again, not fully secured on the total amount of what we'll be receiving. But nonetheless, again, the work is started at both offices working together to, again, expedite the process of, you know, getting dollars to communities in order to do these searches and really to do them properly. And obviously with, you know, a survivor-led, community-led, because, you know, we at Six Nations are not going, you know, well, technically we're doing commemoration simultaneously while searching, you know, but it's hard for us to go down, you know, commemoration lane when, you know, when and if we do discover or rather recover bodies of children at the Mohawk Institute, you know, we're going to be treating it much like Chief DeLorme as a crime scene and head down a criminal investigation route.
Now, I went to school in Simcoe. Obviously, Six Nations is very close. Residential school, former residential school is very close. This is something that was never taught in school when I went to school. Why do you think for outside of the Indigenous community, this part of our history was overlooked, and I guess the reaction to it at least finally being addressed across Canada?
Well, I think that's part of the problem, right, is that, you know, the Western curriculum that's being taught in today's Canadian schools doesn't reflect the true history. It's not said from our perspective. I mean, there's parts of it that have been evolving over the years that have, you know, have been able to show somewhat of a light of our true history. But when you look at the bigger picture of things, this is not something to be proud of. A country to have done and committed and been a part of the atrocities, again, committed. Who wants to talk about that? Who's proud of talking about that? Nobody, or absolutely, you know, shouldn't be proud of talking about something like this, because it's devastating. It's horrific. And so, you know, I think that's probably one of the reasons, is because of the dark history. It's a chapter of this country's dark history. And I think it's important that light be shed on this dark history so that we can actually start to, you know, put some meat behind the bones of this talk of reconciliation. You know, we can't get to reconciliation if we're not talking about the truth first and foremost.
And obviously, like this is the tip of the iceberg when it comes to stuff that can be taught in school. What are some of the things, other things that you would like in the future to be brought to light or to be taught in the Western schools, just so that people have more education, more background for a true history of Canada?
Well, I think that's a great question, and I think that's where collectively we need to come together. And really look to our own resources of what we have available in order to, you know, work with, you know, local district school boards, you know, work with, I think it has to, you know, the Rome wasn't built in a day, right? So we have to take our time at this. And I think, but if we can at least start to lay out our plan of action and how we're going to address this issue, I think we have to start first and foremost by, again, education is key. And I think it's important that, you know, we continue to educate others on our history of the residential school system and beyond, in addition to our culture and languages and so forth. I think it's important that we start at the local level to implement changes. You know, there was one event that took place with our neighboring community. Obviously, you know, we've had challenges with our neighbor community of the town of Caledonia just to do with land issues. And really, all of these issues are interconnected, if you think about it. And I think one of those, you know, during this event, which was it started as a pen pal program, and it started with a local teacher, you know, that had worked within the system, and wanted to help to bridge, almost to, you know, keeping in mind that two-row wampum, and that's exactly where this pen pal, you know, it really started very small, from classroom to classroom, and really turned out to become this really huge event with multiple schools where, you know, non-Indigenous students were able to come to, you know, our Chiefswood Park, located right on the Grand River, and be able to share stories back and forth, and for those children and students to learn from each other. And I think those are types of programs that I think we need to continue to push and continue to support, as well as, you know, the long-term steps of, you know, looking at potential legislation, looking at how we could work with school boards to insert our own version of our own true history and identity, speaking our stories and truth. I think that's, you know, all part of the bigger plan. But as long as, for me, we're taking strategic steps to at least maintain the awareness and maintain the education that needs to happen.
Now, this next question is a two-part question. I guess, first of all, across Canada, there's tons of places are canceling Canada Day festivities just after all these horrific discoveries have been made. Just first of all, thoughts and comments on many communities taking this step.
So we actually, and again, thank you for that question. I know it's been surfing around for some time in this country, and we actually had the opportunity to discuss this morning within our council meeting, and we, in fact, will be making the same type of statement of canceling Canada Day. We are not celebrating Canada Day here in Six Nations, just due to the fact, again, I think there's always kind of been a sense of, I don't think our community necessarily per se celebrate it in the way that a Canadian citizen would normally celebrate the country. And so we've always, I think, had, you know, some challenges with that day, but even more so with these findings, you know, it's evident that we're not prepared or looking to celebrate anything of Canada at this time, just to, because of the fact of, again, what's been happening across the country with our residential schools, or these residential schools and our children. And so Our council will be making a statement on Canada Day, and we'll be using that day more on celebrating the color orange and honoring our children, as well as, you know, maintaining any, you know, supports that we can do for our community on that day.
That leads to the next part, is that obviously a lot of communities are canceling this after this discovery, but July 1st, 2022, it still happened, right? I guess, how do someone who's maybe like has that Canadian pride, loves Canada Day, but also now they're having trouble like with this whole bridging, how can I celebrate a Canada Day knowing this dark history? What is the steps to getting that back and being able to celebrate a Canada Day with some pride? Is it going through, like we were mentioning before, doing the reconciliation, doing the talks to pave that road?
I, you know what, Matt, I think you exactly hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what we have to do. We have to, you know, it's you know, we don't want to be misconstrued with, you know, coming across as you know, disrespectful to the country, but in a sense, we have to look at the history of what this country has done to this, our people. And, you know, as respectful as you know, we want to be in this work and realize and recognize the importance of, you know, relationship building and moving forward together, you know, we have to make sure that there's a willingness to do that. And we have to make sure, again, that the education is up front and center so that our people are able to speak their stories and truths and experiences. But, you know, again, for now, I think it's going to take a lot of education. It's going to take a lot of relationship building, a lot of listening, a lot of respect. And we have to be able to get to a place where we all can heal as a country.
And lastly, sir, thank you so much. There's a lot of questions here. I appreciate your time.
No problem.
The day is called a day to listen. I guess, is there anything, that any messages or anything you'd want to get out to our radio audience to hear for this day?
You know, it's one, first and foremost, you know, come with the utmost good mind and the utmost respect. But all we're really wanting is justice. And, you know, our council, myself, you know, we're not going to stop until justice is served for all of our children and families. You know, just, you can, I put it in plain context of today's world. You know, imagine having someone, a government official, come to your door, remove your child, take your child out of your home, and you may never potentially see that child again. You know, that would never happen in today's world. There'd be people across the country furious of this, you know, these types of actions. So we have to be able to have justice. And that's the biggest piece that I think, you know, people should know, is that that's exactly what we're fighting for. We're fighting for our children who have been going through, you know, these atrocities for many, many years, and our people who have been stripped of our own languages and culture and, you know, knowing and being proud of who they are. And so that's, I think, really important for myself as the chief, to continue to fight for justice for our children, our families, and our communities across this country.